Happy New Year. Thank you. With our New Year today, we do what we always do, and that is we offer you grace and peace in the name of Jesus the Christ. Today is the first Sunday after Epiphany, which was yesterday. Today is also a day in the church when we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, even though we are not going to do two sacraments today. We are going to focus on one sacrament. But having said that, during our time today, it might be good for all of you to remember the time or the remembrances that were given to you on behalf of your baptism that day when you were baptized. And as always, we extend the invitation for anyone that would like to talk and about your future baptism. So welcome, including those of you who are joining us online. My name is Mark McCormick, and I'm the pastor of the Mayflower Congregational Church, where this service originates here in Lansing, Michigan. So welcome to all of you. I'm joined, as always, by our wonderful worship team and our production engineer and some of the other people that share so much in the preparations for this day, including those who have prepared the elements for communion. So thanks to all of you. And our special musicians today are none other than the Mayflower Chancel Choir. I'm sure since you didn't get to hear them last week, you just can't wait to hear us this week. So we've got something for you. Now, I'd give you a little warning that our service will probably go a little longer today, and it's all for good reason. And one of those reasons is that we welcome back, she's been here many times, but Dorothy Fredrickson, who is a person that is the front person for our ministry in Haiti that we support called Baby Boxes. The organization is called Soaring Unlimited, and during our service that you'll notice in the bulletin, A Minute for Mission, Dorothy will share with us, and I'll have a little more to say about how our congregation can respond if that's something that you want to be involved in. She told me this morning that Mayflower Church is the number one supporting church for that. Doesn't mean we're trying to be braggadocious, but it does mean that we have responded and continue to respond, hopefully. And I missed Art Ritter last week, and maybe he missed me the previous week, but we're back together today. Art and Laura, we welcome you here, and following our fellowship time, Art will have his first of the series that he will present in Bible study. In our Christian education time, they'll start around noon or a little after, depending on how time goes. All right, Jerry Fuller comes for a very important announcement at this time. Oh, there he is. I'm sorry? Oh, that's after we process? All right, that's a good idea, Jerry. Jerry's processing. Oh, come on up, Jerry. Come on up. We didn't really work this one out logistically, but we have. How's that? It's different than last week. All right, have at it, Jerry. Always surprises, right?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our second announcement. In accordance with the church bylaws in the state of Michigan, I am hereby announcing a special church meeting on January 14th, next Sunday, at 12 noon in the Friendship Center to approve the 2024 church budget and answer questions pertaining to the proposed new bylaws, which will be voted on at the annual meeting on January 28th. Copies of the proposed 2024 church budget and proposed bylaws are both available for your review in the Friendship Center. I hope as many of you as possible can attend the January 14th meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. And as Jerry said, those copies of the bylaw for your review with a cover letter will be available. And if you need to leave before our time in the Friendship Center, see Lorraine, and she'll have one for you as you leave. The reason we didn't pass them out now is that we didn't want to distract you for worship. You know how that goes. But following and reading your bulletin is not a distraction. It'll be helpful to you, especially in the order of worship. Our theme today is From Chaos to Rhythm, taken from the first five verses in the Bible. Let us now worship God.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Did you enjoy the holidays? Are you happy to be back in the routine? We all have special events we look forward to, but they can often take a toll, both physically and emotionally. On the other hand, staying in the routine without a break can become boring and uneventful. Coming to church on Sunday is certainly a routine for many, and we must admit that sometimes church can be boring. So while we can't guarantee how you feel about this service or any other, we do many things here at Mayflower to prevent boredom, even in the routines of our worship tradition. The excitement of Christmas and the holidays are behind us, but our worship team, our musicians, and our pastoral team are all working hard to make church life in 2024 exciting, inspirational, and meaningful. So we hope that the music, scripture, prayers, and the spoken word will once again transcend the Sunday routine as we explore the mystery of the divine. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we have made another complete journey around the sun. We have closed the books on 2023, for good or bad, with all of its joys and sorrows. We now anticipate all the possibilities for 2024. We want good things to happen in our world, our country, our communities, our church, and in our lives, and we pray that will happen. We admit that we want the chaos and disorder to go away, yet we ask for a realism in our prayer today and at the beginning of 2024. We ask that you would help us to seek your presence in our worship today, which will help bring perspective to our minds and peace to our hearts in a rhythm of faith that no circumstance or event involving chaos can remove. And help us all to be in the business of helping to bring rhythm and order to people whose lives are chaotic and whose most hopeful routine would be to have enough food to eat and a safe and warm place to live. Give us a faith that will transcend chaos, inspire change, and instill a resolve to bring good news to all we encounter. With a dynamic rhythm of determination, courage, and trust, this we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Dorothy Fredrickson, for those of you who have been here for some period of time, is well known to us, and she is well loved by us because we have felt her love and her grace as she has shared with us every year this very meaningful ministry. So Dorothy, you come to us now and share in this very important and work that is being done in one of the poorest countries of the world.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here today to share with you in your worship service and also to share with you in person our appreciation for your help of the Baby Box program. In fact, this church has been helping us right from the very beginning when we started the Baby Box program. I don't know if you knew that, but that's when we were starting the Baby Box program, and you've been a really faithful church ever since that. We're happy that the program is still going, and it's been growing bigger all the time. And other programs in Haiti have had to stop because of all the violence over there. But we haven't had any problems with what we're doing over there. Well, we're kind of lucky in that the police commissioner in that area for the whole area is married to the person that's in charge of all of our Sorry Got Limited programs, so he keeps us pretty safe. So we're a little bit luckier than some other groups. But we've been especially blessed this past year that they were able to open the birthing center. They had been trying for a few years, but they got delayed because of the pandemic. But this year they were able to open the birthing center. And since they opened, they've delivered 100 babies already. They even delivered one baby before they opened. The night before they were opening, somebody came and was in labor, and she convinced them to deliver her baby, and she was so happy that she got her baby delivered that she named her baby Soaring. We hope that it doesn't get mixed up with Soaring Eagle, which sometimes our program gets mixed up with. We all got a chuckle out of that. We've also been blessed with having that open because when people go there, women go there, they can determine ones that need our help and can refer them on to us. So we can help them. Our program is now operating in 6 different places. We have 2 hospitals and some clinics. They've also been having some programs, mobile clinics up in the mountains over there. So we're really happy that that program has opened. We've also been blessed this past September in that we were able to hire a full-time staff person, employee, to coordinate the Baby Box program because it has gotten bigger and we needed more help over there. And we were really pleased that we were able to get someone that had been teaching music for us for quite a long time. So we know this person, and he had been coming even as a volunteer, helping assemble the boxes and put the contact paper on to get them waterproofed before they distributed them. So we feel really blessed that we were able to get him somebody that we know and that was already interested in helping with the program. We're currently working, as I said, with six different programs over there. Of course, our goal is to get the Baby Box program all over Haiti. If they can do it all over Finland, where they have the lowest infant mortality rate in the world, we should be able to do it in Haiti, shouldn't we? If we all work together. The Minister of Health is very supportive of what we're doing. He came to the birthing center open house. We know him because Sparrow Hospital here in Lansing gave him a generator, a big generator for the government hospital over there. And so he was really pleased about that. And Greenstone Credit, Farm Credit here in East Lansing gave $10,000 to get that generator over there for him. So he's really supportive of what we're doing. And he came to the birthing center open house and said he's going to support the Baby Box program and all the programs where we're starting. We're hoping to start in two departments over there. There's 10 departments in Haiti, in the country of Haiti, and we're hoping to start in the north and the northeast department. But we need a lot of prayers. Haiti needs a lot of prayers. They have had a lot of trouble over there. The president, of course, you probably already know, got shot. And all of the parliament, their terms have ended, so they have no government in place at all. They have a prime minister, but this prime minister was appointed the day after the president got shot, and he had no government experience at all, so he's been having a lot of trouble trying to run that country. And so Haiti needs a lot of prayer at this point. We covet your prayers, too, that God will give us the wisdom that we need to figure out what we need to do to promote the program over in Haiti, where the infant and child the infant and maternal mortality rate is the highest in the world.
Thank you, Dorothy, for sharing that with us. Kind of touches the heart. Well, your pastoral team, speaking of art and myself, are trivia enthusiasts, and I can't help but ask a trivia question related to what she just shared with us. Haiti is on what island? It is the island of?
Hispaniola.
All right, Art got it, and others, yes. The island of Hispaniola, and the other country that is on that island is? Dominican Republic. Very good. Just to put that into perspective.
Thank you.
At the beginning of a new year, as your pastor, I'd like to offer a few words of explanation to how giving works around Mayflower. Most of you know, some of you don't. In that regard, it doesn't matter, except to say sometimes it's good to communicate. If you looked at a list of all that we do in outreach projects, sometimes you can look at that list and say, wow, that's a lot of things we do. And sometimes there is a false expectation that everything we do has to be supported by everyone. And that is simply not the case. We don't keep track of who gives to this, that, or the other thing, especially out of our regular giving and our budget. So, as Dorothy has shared with us today, and other things that we support, maybe it's the school across the street, could be the backpack program, it could be the mitten tree that you see out there. There are a lot of different things, and we want this congregation to know, first of all, that as Dorothy has shared, you folks are generous giving people, but we all have the discretion and our own ways of priorities, of family obligations, and other giving obligations that we have. It's never a contest, and it's never a record-keeping thing. But sometimes our hearts are touched. Other times we simply want to give. If somebody else is giving and we can and we want, that's fine. But with that, giving is always a holy act of worship. And for those of you who are visitors or have not been here a long time, we do not pass the plates because, and I'll say it again, your gift to us in this service is a blessing and a gift. It's a gift to God. And in our giving, we not only give our resources, but we give in this act of worship now our time, our talents, our treasures, and indeed, and most importantly, our very selves. Thanks be to God. Just a little reinforcement, and I don't often share something like this, but our giving produces giving that God blesses us with. Just to give an example, doesn't happen very often like this, but it happens frequently enough to know that our giving is multiplied in so many ways. There were two people who are not members of our church and who rarely, if ever, attend, sent checks in to our church as acts of appreciation, gifts. They were laying on my desk this morning, the notes involved, and there was, from two people, there were $3,500 that came in, never gracing the doors of this church, or rarely so. So God blesses, God multiplies, and God honors your faithfulness. Let us pray. Lord, as we have gathered once again at the outset of a new year, we pray with all of our concerns we bring to our prayer this morning for the world, for our nation, for our community, for our church, and for ourselves, that you would give us that same spirit of faithfulness as we follow the one who has been faithful to us, God's gift of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in all things and to be forgiving to others who may not measure up to all the standards that sometimes are arbitrarily set. Help us also to know that we need from time to time to be prodded and to be forgiven for times of our lack of faithfulness. But we join together with strength in numbers for all of our prayers and all of our concerns, including those who are on our hearts and whose names we mention now. And now, what a privilege we have to pray together like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. A good place to begin our scriptural journey in 2024 is in the very first verses of the entire Bible. It is here that we immediately understand that God brings order and form where there is nothingness and chaos. What a great reassurance to our faith. Hear now these words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Thanks be to God.
Let us pause for prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, our rock, our redeemer, and our friend. Amen. At the expense of being redundant, I'll ask the question again, and you can respond by a yes or no, or a silent maybe. Did you enjoy the holidays? I heard some yeses. I sensed a little silence, but in the yeses, what's that? There was a little tepidness, if you want to put it that way. So maybe there is a better question here. How about, did you survive the holidays? Seems to be a little more enthusiastic response on that one. That contrast helps us understand the opening five verses in the Bible in a way that relates to our lives. I offer to you Exhibit A. She lives with me, and her name is Deanne. Didn't really tell her about this. This is dangerous territory, folks. It happens every year without fail around the time of Thanksgiving or soon after. It involves Christmas decorations. Now, she solicits my help for the heavy lifting for the stored Christmas trees in our garage, which really isn't heavy lifting. That is pretty much the extent of my puny help, with the possible exception of a couple of containers where she keeps most of the decorations that she uses each year. She takes it from there. The lighted wreaths, and this year, live green garlands all around the house. At least two smaller Christmas trees placed strategically, one just above and to the right of the television, each of which have lights too. Some of them blink, which complement the lights outside, which are green lights wrapped around our two dwarf Alberta spruces that aren't so dwarf anymore. And then, of course, I've told you about 7-foot Frosty, our blow-up snowman with an electric blower, which is the centerpiece of the outside decoration, waving to everybody on the street, where I hope that nobody might just recognize me, first of all, as a preacher. A snowman might do it. Just me, folks. Back inside, there is the most amazing set of musical bells that are remotely operated, purchased at a Hallmark store and given to us a few years ago by a very special friend. And they play the most beautiful Christmas carols, which sound like a beautiful handbell choir. I can't forget the lighted angel, a creche, and a few other things I simply can't remember or didn't notice. Our house looks beautiful during the holidays. It always looks beautiful, but especially so, thanks to my wife. One of her greatest joys over the holidays was to be able to hold her great-grandbaby in her arms while rocking him to sleep, and he fell fast asleep. I don't know if there's a picture of that. I think there might be. Some of you might be interested in that. And I want to tell you, as most of us concur, Christmas is great. And yet, Deanne would be the first to tell you that she often dreads the holidays because of certain amounts of chaos. early on in our marriage, there was some stress about how much time we were going to spend with whose family and where. Do you remember that, Deanne? All right, I can tell you, fortunately, we have pretty much worked that out. I simply tell my family, just don't worry about me, I'll be back some other time. I'm just kidding. But the chaos of schedule, the extra work this year of hosting my two boys who came for a weekend, and she loved seeing the boys, but all the preparations that were made, including those clean sheets in the bed, and you know how that goes. The gifts to buy, the cards to write, and the enjoyable yet demanding work of musical preparation here at Mayflower, and this year tending to a sick husband right in the heart of the holidays, all serve to illustrate what many of us look forward to but rejoice when it's over. 2 days ago was the 12th day of Christmas, and the decorations in our home were methodically taken down. Instead of an air of excitement and giddiness that she had when she put them up, I heard sighs and a breathing pattern that represented effort which required grit with a sense of resignation. Gone is the Christmas tree with the beautifully wrapped presents underneath, the Christmas music often playing in the background, gatherings with family, the long-awaited and prepared-for Christmas Eve services that my colleague Art so beautifully took care of for me, and the family, all the other family gatherings and church gatherings. Now, I can't imagine life, perhaps you too, without Christmas. But there is so much relief when it is over. Can you, anybody here identify with that? I hope so. And for perhaps a few of you, there was the dreaded chaos of spending Christmas all alone, as one of you told me that the Christmas plans with the family did not work out. There are parables to all this here in the beloved community. Remember when you came in and saw the sanctuary all decorated so beautifully for Christmas and Advent? Later, the lovely poinsettias which graced our chancel area, the bell and choir rehearsals preparing for the glorious Advent and Christmas music, the Christmas tree, lighting of the Advent candles, 75 people in worship for Sunday morning just before Christmas, and a Christmas Eve service ending in our traditional and rather unique This Little Light of Mine with our special candles which prevent a potential call to the fire department. But now it's all over. The decorations are down thanks to mainly to three volunteers who came in and helped on Thursday and will put away Advent and Christmas music for yet another year. We are back in church experiencing the long, dark nights of winter, gloomy, cloudy skies with rare glimpses of the sunshine, and for the first time since the beginning of winter, the threat of snowstorms heading our way this week. So, this morning, are you sad or glad? The first five verses of the Bible helps to put that question into fresh perspective as we begin a new year. But first, it is necessary to offer a disclaimer or two. It is important to note that the accounts of creation in the Bible are not eyewitness accounts. And by the way, and I've said this before, there are two creation accounts, Genesis 1 and then Genesis 2 and 3. These creation accounts were not intended to be historic or scientific. These narratives transcend history and science. Says Debbie Thomas, who some of us listened to at last year's annual meeting in Milwaukee in her new book, she says, "To call the creation story true is not to quibble with science. It is to probe deeper than any scientific endeavor can take us. The search for truth is not intended to find out exactly what happened or to determine the exact point of when God created the world or began God's creative activity. The element of faith removes any attempt to prove or disprove science or history. These accounts were written as people were looking back when the faith community, searching for meaning, wrestled with their suffering when they were in exile or dealing with the aftermath of exile, loss, and destruction of their temple, their traditions, their homes, their country, and in many ways, their very religion. They were in chaos. Their search involved the fundamental question of whether God could and would bring order, restoration, rhythm, and routine to those whose lives, and most of them were, in chaos. When understood in this light, some things came into clearer focus for them and perhaps also for us. These five verses tell us, as it told them, that God does have the power and ability, but more importantly, God has the desire to bring order and rhythm to the formless voids and chaotic situations we inevitably experience. All you'd have to do is go through our prayer list listed on the e-notes to see that some are in total chaos. In God's first actions of creation, rhythm and order came into being. In a very poetic way, God did not force or wrestle the world into a new order. God spoke order and rhythm into existence. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from darkness. The story continues throughout the chapter. God spoke into being atmosphere and water, spoke of water and dry land to be distinct from one another. God brought forth vegetation and fruit which bears seeds, which ensures God's creation will be sustained. God spoke the sky, the sun, and the moon into existence. And before humans were created, and that's interesting, humans were the last ones created in this narrative. God created living creatures of all kinds, including birds, fish, whales, cattle, wild animals, and creatures of every kind, including the ones that crawl on their bellies. It is interesting to note, again, that we were the last in that list. Ironically, and with a modicum of humor, yet with a poignant truth, the trouble first began when humankind was created. It is recorded that we humans were created in the image of God, thereby giving us, in many ways, godlike abilities, which was the seedbed for trouble. Read the second account of creation in the next chapter, and you'll read about the snake and the fruit story, which helps us understand our tendency to screw up the created order. Our inclinations often interrupt and alter the created order of rhythm and balance with our disregard for the care of the earth and our penchant to try to play God. More chaos. For perspective, let me first say that chaos in itself is not sin, and chaos is not necessarily the result of sin. Chaos was present long before sin entered the world. But in the rhythm, balance, and cadence of creation, which is a year around the sun with four seasons, the 24-hour rhythm of night and day, 7 days in a week following the created order, there can be a chaos of monotony, routine, and boredom. There can also be chaos within the rhythm of nature, beautiful volcanoes like the one where I tour guided for 15 years, Mount Rainier, will someday erupt as others have. Earthquakes happen. Hundreds of thousands of people are killed. Hurricanes, tornadoes, and floods cause much chaos, all within God's beautifully ordered creation, which God calls good. Vanity of vanity, says the wisdom writer, all is vanity. Unless you are a person of faith. So I asked the question at the beginning of this year, what difference does our faith make? God has given us many ways to mark the passing of time and make a new beginning, including the beginning of a calendar year. We're on the threshold of that right now. Advent began a new church year. That's our church year beginning after Thanksgiving and the first Sunday of Advent. Scholars and students begin new semesters. And I heard of someone who wished people who had their birthdays on their birthday Happy New Year, as if getting 1 year older is a new year. We read the new beginning of creation in the opening verses of the Bible. New beginnings come when we choose to be chosen, by choosing to be sober and to choose patience over anger. Sometimes new beginnings are chosen for us by hardship, tragedy, or a surprising opportunity, like the day Mayflower chose me to be their pastor. We can choose to live a life full of hope in the face of despair, loss, or sorrow, forgiving the past and embracing a future that is laden with new possibilities. And then there is the boring routines, the same old, which can be transformed in if we have new ways of thinking. Theologian Frederick Buechner writes this: using the same old material of earth, air, fire, and water, every 24 hours, God creates something new out of them. If you think you're seeing the same show over and over again 7 times a week, he says, you're crazy. Every morning, you wake up to something that in all of eternity never was before and never will be again. When you open the blinds and look out on the bird feeder, you might see the special cardinal or the chickadee that make occasional visits to the bird feeder. You might see a different colored squirrel. You might notice a color in the sky that you've never seen before. And the you that wakes up was never the same before and will never be the same again either. That's the end of his quote. Today we have arrived at the first routine of the new year. First Sunday of the month, it's communion. But once again, today is unique from all that has gone before and all that will come ahead. We will never be gathered together again with exactly the same people that are gathered here today. In communion, we celebrate a freedom that is unique to our faith. Communion reminds us of our most blessed hope, which releases us out of forgiveness and mercy to a new life. Even as we lament the chaos of our past, or our present, or even our future. Barbara Brown Taylor writes in her new book on spirituality and darkness, and I quote, "The way most people talk about darkness, you would think that it came from a whole different deity. But no, to be human is to live by sunlight and moonlight, with anxiety and delight, admitting our limits and transcending them, falling down and then rising up. To want a life with only half of these things is to want only half a life, shutting out the other half where it will not interfere with one's bright fantasies of the way things ought to be." End quote. In the Gospels, Jesus had his beginning following his baptism when the Spirit of God settled upon him, and a voice came from heaven that announced his belovedness. Then he was led directly into the wilderness where he was sorely tempted and emerged with an age-old but unfulfilled mission to seek, to save, and to redeem. He did that not with the expectation of an uninterrupted journey that would lead everyone to nirvana, rather a life which ended in a tragic, brutal death upon a cross. Humanly speaking, his end was a tragic life. But with God, a new beginning transcends the worst of all of our fears. And that's the grim reaper. Instead, new life, a resurrection with a hope that transcends all that would hold us back in 2024. Happy New Year, and thanks be to God. Now, before we come to the table this morning, just a little time like we have the last 2 times we had communion. It's time to remember that communion is a communal event. That's in the word, folks. So we're going to take just a few moments to stand up, those who are able, and greet one another, knowing that what we're doing is a communal event, not just a personal sacred moment. So greet one another for a few moments, and I'll call a halt to it when we're ready, and then I'll invite Art up with me to the communion table. Good to see you, Dick. I didn't realize you were bringing your wife today.
I didn't either.
Oh, he's...
Good morning, Gil.
Good morning.
We're good.
Oh, you know what? I'll get one. All
right. All good things must come to an end, folks.
Kim, right over here, Kim. This mic, will this mic work? Okay, it's on. No, this may look like chaos, but I think it goes far beyond that, folks. It's time to take your seats. Yes. Or from chaos now to order. But as you can see, there's a lot of goodness in chaos, right? It kind of looks like chaos, but there's so much rhythm and order when we think of communion for what it really is. We commune together around the table of our Lord. You have, if you have the bulletin, the copy of our communion ritual. And even though our ritual says it, a quick reminder that here at Mayflower we offer open communion. You don't have to be a member of us or anyone else or anywhere else to come forward, and you'll see that in our invitation. Let us begin with our confession to God. Forgiving God, we come to this table knowing that we often fall short of all that you desire for us. Sometimes we fail both as individuals and as a community of faith. We seek your mercy and grace as we ask you for forgiveness and renewal, that we may better follow you. In the name of your Son, amen. Hear now these words of assurance. We have this assurance that no matter how far we wander or how far away we feel from God, we never move outside the boundaries of God's gracious love for us. We are loved, we are forgiven, and we are blessed. We celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church in the tradition of our beloved teacher who welcomed all to the supper, even those who betrayed him or ran away in fear.
It is right and a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
We'll ask our servers to come forward. Hear now these words of invitation. We welcome you to this table, whether you are a member of this church, another church, or no church. All you need is faith or a desire for faith. This is the time when we all acknowledge our past failures, sins, and disappointments, and present ourselves to God who offers us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just where we are, and who we are at this very moment in our lives. And is our tradition here as the elements are shared, first the bread and then the cup. When the bread is served to everyone, we will eat together, and then following that, we will serve the juice, and then we will drink together. I'm sorry.
Night when he was betrayed, as Jesus sat at supper with his disciples, he took bread, blessed, and broke it. And he said to them, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Heart, the bread of life. Thank you. Let us eat together. Now the cup.
Thank you.
After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, and eat the bread in remembrance of me. For when you do this, you proclaim the Lord's coming." Let us now drink together. Now let's share together the great thanksgiving. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this memorial of your love and have granted to us the presence of your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask you to strengthen our faith in you and to increase our love toward one another through him, our Redeemer. Amen. Thanks to our servers, our pianist, and all those that participated today, thank all of you. Amen.
And now, as a blessing for 2024, may the Lord bless and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen.
Well, you braved the weather today, folks. A little bit of icy roads out there, but not so bad. Maybe a little more coming this week. You know, I pastored a church many years ago in my younger days, and I remember going three Sundays. It was a church over on the near Lake Michigan where we were in the snow belt, and three Sundays went by, and my treasurer called me and said, can you do without pay this week? Well, that's not the case here at Mayflower usually, but God has granted us weather enough to make it to church, and we appreciate your presence here. We hope that can continue as we share and break bread with one another, and then we have the beginning of another wonderful time of Christian education with Art. And for any of you who have not been here for that, I will tell you that Art, in the proverbial preacher language, knows how to land the plane. He doesn't go on a long time and ramble on, but he gives us some extra food, spiritual food that will be beneficial to us all. And we have some special treats back there, including, not talking food here, but Dorothy Fredrickson and her wonderful assistants have a display. If anybody has any more questions about that wonderful program, or if you'd like to get involved in that, especially financially. The other thing is I have someone that I want to introduce you to. It'll be a very important part of our congregation coming up indefinitely for the foreseeable future. So that'll be a little surprise. There are always surprises in store when we eat together and share our love and care for one another and listen to more of what God has to speak to us. So go in peace. Hopefully we'll see you there. And if you have to leave, make sure you pick up a copy if you want and see Lorraine with the new bylaws. You don't have to read it all day, folks. But, there you go.